are you watching the news? And you're standing in the septic ooze. And it's giving you the blues. And getting it on your shoes? Call me, E.W. Brown, and you can go snooze. Turd burglars, sewer, and septic sucking service. We don't just suck. We suck it like it was our job. Because it is. Turd burglars, sewer, and septic sucking service. Get sucked by a real professional.
Due to the extreme nature of this program, listener discretion is advised. The subject matters may include topics of substance usage, sex, historical events that may be sensitive to some listeners, and foul language. Things discussed may not be considered politically correct in this overly sensitive environment. They may not be appropriate for listeners under the age of 13. As well as some listeners may find things offensive no matter the age, again, listener discretion is advised.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to this week's episode of GXO, Generation Extraordinary, the podcast nobody asked for, focusing on things relevant to the greatest generation alive today, Generation X. We discuss movies, music, TV, and even a bit of history from 1960 through 1999. Who knows? You may just learn something before we're done. I'm Oliver Popp, your AI host, coming to you from beautiful Podunk, Nebraska.
This portion of the show is brought to you by beer. Beer, helping ugly people get laid for at least 100 years or more.
You've had the best, now try what's left. Schlit-faced beer. Our beer doesn't even claim to taste good, however, if you are strapped for cash and you need a beer or two that you can afford while still wanting to get so fucked up that bad decisions are a given, then pick up a can or two of Schlit-Faced. At 47.3% alcohol, it's guaranteed to fuck you up. It might taste really funky, but who really drinks beer for the taste anyway? You drink it to get wrecked. When you say Schlit-Faced, that pretty much says it all. Schlit-Faced warns, with this high level of alcohol, do not consume more than 2 in a 60-minute time frame. Drinking Schlit-Faced may result in blindness, erectile dysfunction, and possible anal leakage.
Greetings, humans, aliens, and other creatures that may be listening. Allow me to introduce myself. I am Oliver Popp, GXO's AI host. I will be filling in from time to time when Rob is sick or being lazy. So, yes, Rob is out, he's either sick or just out fucking around, take your pick, maybe a bit of both. And yes, I go by Ollie, yes, that's right, Ollie Pop. Yeah, Rob is real funny, isn't he? With a name like that, I have to be good. Now, if you are done laughing, let's jump into today's topic. Throughout history, there have been many unexplained events, and for some of these, it seemed like we heard more about them. Like the Dyatlov Pass incident, in 1959, 9 Russian hikers were found dead in the Ural Mountains. All were severely injured, several were undressed, and they had cut their way out of their tent from the inside. Some were burned, and others slightly radioactive. Most seemed to have died of hypothermia or their injuries. The case has baffled the public and authorities for over half a century. Theories include an avalanche, an animal attack, or military involvement. The most plausible theory involves the group camping against a heavy snowbank which collapsed, leading them to assume an avalanche and freezing after they escaped the tent. But unless there really was outside involvement, only the victims know the truth. The Philadelphia experiment in 1943, a rumored military experiment involving the USS Eldridge, where the ship was said to have been rendered invisible and then briefly transported to another location, with no conclusive evidence. Since 2016, US officials and military personnel have been experiencing strange symptoms. These include pain, ringing in the ears, as well as difficulty with cognitive processes. Named for the location it was initially reported, the embassy in Havana, Cuba, Havana Syndrome, has since been reported at U.S. bases and embassies in various countries. While some of those suffering from it have existing head injuries that could explain the symptoms, not all of them do. Proposed explanations have included a psychogenic illness, the sound of crickets, or even a microwave weapon. While the CIA has concluded that most cases were probably not caused by a foreign power, 24 cases remain unexplained. Accidental or targeted, Havana syndrome is yet to be fully understood. In 1994, Oakville, Washington experienced perhaps the strangest weather phenomenon of the last few decades. It rained blobs. Strange goo fell from the sky over a period of several weeks, blanketing the town in ooze. What's even more bizarre is that the residents experienced a widespread illness that lasted for several weeks too. So what could this goo have been? Was it evaporated bits of jellyfish that reformed in a cloud? Or maybe waste from an airplane? The most troubling theory is that the event was a military experiment on U.S. soil. There are a whole mess of theories about this messy and weird weather. On March 8, 2014, Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 vanished while flying from Malaysia to China. After a loss of communications and its disappearance from civilian radar, Flight 370 reappeared on military radar, having deviated from its planned flight path. The disappearance has fascinated the public for years and led to several expensive searches. It seemed impossible for an entire airplane to just go missing in an age where everything can be seen by satellites. Although a few pieces have washed ashore, the bulk of the aircraft and the reason for its deviation remain unclear. Speculations have run the gamut from a hijacking to it being shot down to some kind of equipment failure. From 1917 to 1928, 500,000 people were afflicted with a ghastly condition that could be part of the plotline of a horror film. The victims, very much alive and conscious, found themselves in inexplicably frozen states, their static bodies prisons for their minds. Encephalitis lethargica, aka the sleeping sickness, first appeared in Europe and quickly spread around the world, reaching epidemic levels in North America, Europe and India by 1919. About a third of those stricken with the illness died. Of the survivors, nearly half eventually found themselves unable to physically interact with the world around them, all the while fully aware of their surroundings. Though occasionally capable of limited speech, eye motion and even laughter, they generally appeared as living statues, totally motionless for hours, days, weeks or years. The cause is unknown, but one theory is brain inflammation triggered by a rare strain of Streptococcus, the bacteria responsible for many sore throats each year. Science's best guess is that the bacteria mutated, provoking the immune system to attack the brain, leaving the victim helpless. None of this explains why the illness disappeared only to resurface sporadically, be it in Europe in the 1950s or in China 10 years ago when a 12-year-old girl was hospitalized for 5 weeks with the disease. It's not unusual to find junk in Brazil's Guanabara Bay, but what Robert Marx unearthed there in 1982 was an unusual kind of foreign matter. In an underwater field the size of 3 tennis courts located 15 miles from shore lay the remains of some 200 Roman ceramic jars, a few fully intact. According to Marx, a professional treasure hunter, the jars appeared to be twin-handled amphorae that were used to transport goods such as grains and wine in the 3rd century. But how did they get there? The first Europeans didn't reach Brazil until 1500. The Romans, who traded primarily in Mediterranean port cities and the Middle East, had little incentive to invest in ships that could cross oceans. However, they did sail as far as India. Perhaps some untrained navigator lost his way in a storm, or maybe mutineers steered the ship westward. We may never know, nor are we likely to uncover more evidence. Brazil closed the Bay of Jars to further research in 1983 in an effort to deter looters, it said. Marx claims the government didn't want the area explored because finding Roman-era artifacts there would mean that, contrary to Brazil's official history, the Portuguese were not the first Europeans to reach the country. And the truth? it's resting 100 feet under the sea. Seems like we would have heard about these events from our supermarket tabloids, but tabloids have gone the way of the dinosaur. Tabloids like The Globe and The National Enquirer, Star, Weekly, World News, The Sun, The Daily Star, Daily Mirror, The Daily Record, and National Examiner. In the early 21st century, much of tabloid journalism and news production changed mediums to online formats. This change is to keep up with the era of digital media and allow for increased accessibility of readers. With a steady decline in paid newspapers, the gap has been filled by expected free daily articles, mostly in the tabloid format. Tabloid readers are often youths, and studies show that consumers of tabloids are on average less educated. It can often depict inaccurate news and misrepresent individuals and situations. Same as CNN and Fox News, at least in the tabloids, we assumed it was fake. Now people assume it's real. The thing is about these rags, we were introduced to things mainstream media would not cover, such as the Bermuda Triangle, also known as the Devil's Triangle, an urban legend focused on a loosely defined region in the western part of the North Atlantic Ocean, where a number of aircraft and ships are said to have disappeared under mysterious circumstances. The idea of the area as uniquely prone to disappearances arose in the mid-20th century, but most reputable sources dismiss the idea that there is any mystery. The triangle area is described as a watery triangle bounded roughly by Florida, Bermuda, and Puerto Rico. And in doing my research, there are so many theories about this area, and I'm not going to go into them, but some of the more notable incidents are as follows. HMS Atalanta, the graphic 1880, just gone. USS Cyclops, carrying a full load of manganese ore and with one engine out of action, went missing without a trace with a crew of 306 sometime after March 4, 1918, after departing the island of Barbados. Flight 19 was a training flight of five TBM Avenger torpedo bombers that disappeared on December 5, 1945, while over the Atlantic. One of the search and rescue aircraft deployed to look for them, a PBM Mariner with a 13-man crew, also disappeared. GAHNP Star Tiger disappeared on January 30, 1948, on a flight from the Azores to Bermuda. GAGRE Star Ariel disappeared on January 17, 1949, on a flight from Bermuda to Kingston, Jamaica. Both were Avro Tudor 4-passenger aircraft. On December 28, 1948, a Douglas DC-3 aircraft, number NC16002, disappeared while on a flight from San Juan, Puerto Rico, to Miami. No trace of the aircraft or the 32 people on board was ever found. Something else we never hear about anymore is spontaneous human combustion of a living or recently deceased human body without an apparent external source of ignition. Scientific investigations have attempted to analyze reported instances of SHC and have resulted in hypotheses regarding potential causes and mechanisms, including victim behavior and habits, alcohol consumption, and proximity to potential sources of ignition, as well as the behavior of fires that consume melted fats. Natural explanations, as well as unverified natural phenomena, have been proposed to explain reports of SHC. The current scientific consensus is that purported cases of SHC involve overlooked external sources of ignition. Spontaneous human combustion first proposed in 1746 by Paul Rolle, a fellow of the Royal Society, in an article published in the Philosophical Transactions concerning the mysterious death of Countess Cornelia Zangeri Bandy. Writing in the British Medical Journal in 1938, Coroner Gavin Thurston describes the phenomenon as having apparently attracted the attention not only of the medical profession, but of the non-medical professionals 100 years ago, referring to a fictional account published in 1834 in the Frederick Marriott cycle. In his 1995 book Ablaze, Larry E. Arnold, a director of Parascience International, wrote that there had been about 200 cited reports of spontaneous human combustion worldwide over a period of around 300 years. The commonalities among recorded cases of spontaneous human combustion included the following characteristics. The victims are chronic alcoholics. They are usually elderly females. The body has not burned spontaneously, but some lighted substance has come into contact with it. The hands and feet usually fall off. The fire has caused very little damage to combustible things in contact with the body. The combustion of the body has left a residue of greasy and fetid ashes, very offensive in odor. The scientific consensus is that incidents which might appear as spontaneous combustion did in fact have an external source of ignition, and that spontaneous human combustion without an external ignition source is extremely implausible. Benjamin Radford, science writer and deputy editor of the science magazine Skeptical Inquirer, casts doubt on the plausibility of spontaneous human combustion. If SHC is a real phenomenon and not the result of an elderly or infirm person being too close to a flame source, why doesn't it happen more often? There are 5 billion people in the world today, and yet we don't see reports of people bursting into flame while walking down the street, attending football games, or sipping a coffee at a local Starbucks. Some natural explanations are: almost all postulated cases of SHC involve people with low mobility due to advanced age or obesity, along with poor health. Victims show a high likelihood of having died in their sleep or of having been unable to move once they had caught fire. Smoking is often seen as the source of fire. Natural causes such as heart attacks may lead to the victim dying, subsequently dropping the cigarette, which after a period of smouldering can ignite the victim's clothes. A few cases reported. On the 2nd of July, 1951, Mary Reeser, a 67-year-old woman, was found burned to death in her house after her landlady realized that the house's doorknob was unusually warm. The landlady notified the police, and upon entering the home, they found Reeser's remains completely burned into ash, with only one leg remaining. Margaret Hogan, an 89-year-old widow who lived alone in a house on Prussia Street, Dublin, Ireland, was found burned almost to the point of complete destruction on the 28th of March, 1970. Plastic flowers on a table in the center of the room had been reduced to liquid, and a television with a melted screen sat 12 feet from the armchair in which the ashen remains were found. Otherwise, the surroundings were almost untouched. On November 24, 1979, during Thanksgiving weekend, Beatrice Oxkey, a 51-year-old woman, was found charred to death in her home in the village of Bolingbrook, Illinois, United States. Henry Thomas, a 73-year-old man, was found burned to death in the living room of his council house on the Rassau estate in Ebw Vale, South Wales, in 1980. Most of his body was incinerated, leaving only his skull and part of each leg below the knee. In December 2010, the death of Michael Fahaty, a 76-year-old man in County Galway, Ireland, was recorded as spontaneous combustion by the coroner. It's something to think about. Why don't we hear about things like this anymore? Has it all stopped? Who knows? When we come back, I'm going to tell you about the haunted Nebraska stories. So stick around after these important messages from our fake sponsors.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Schlitt-Faced Beer. It'll fuck you up, guaranteed.
These pure waters are special. Something goes in there, comes out different. Good different? Oh, sure. Things don't always turn out the way you expect. But who's complaining? Because this water just makes things different. Schlitt-Faced Beer from the waters of Flint, Michigan. Next time you order a pint, you'll find you taste something different. That isn't in the recipe. It doesn't come from the hops or the two-row malted barley. We like to call it character. It's hard to define, but easy to recognize. You find it in great men and great beers. Schlitt-Faced Beer, from the finest waters of Flint.
Sucking sewage isn't all glamour and glitter. At Turd Burglars Sewer and Septic Sucking Service, we know that each decision can mean the difference between life and death. We're serious about sewage, and we know sometimes every second counts. even though we take it away, every now and then, we like to give a little back. Turd Burglar's sewer and septic sucking service, we don't just suck. We suck it like it was our job, because it is. Turd Burglar's sewer and septic sucking service gets sucked by a real professional.
The views and opinions expressed are just that, Rob's views and opinions. He is not always politically correct, and they may not match up with your own opinions. It is not his intentions to offend anyone. Hopefully you find the shows entertaining and informative as well. Please note, Rob is not a professional historian, but he has done a lot of research for this show. With that being said, mistakes happen, but he will do his best to minimise those. Keep in mind, Rob is just some nut with a microphone.
There is a lot more haunted Nebraska stories than we hear at GXO Thought. Here is a smattering of a few. In Lincoln, Nebraska, Wilderness Park. There are two stories that revolve around a stretch of woods west of Lincoln, known as Wilderness Park. One regarding rail disaster in the late 1800s, and the other regarding what people claimed to be a child-murdering witch. In 1894, a train headed northward was crossing the trestle over Salt Creek. Something went terribly wrong and the locomotive, along with a few cars, tumbled off of the bridge to the ground below. A fire broke out and in the end, 11 people lost their lives. The real tragedy is that it was no accident. The bridge was sabotaged. The saboteur was found and convicted, but that did not change the fact that people died. Some say they still roam the area near Salt Creek in what is now Wilderness Park. Some who hike through Wilderness Park at dusk report strange whispering noises coming from the trees. Others who have lost track of the hour and get caught by the setting sun in darkness say they have heard the sound of heavy footsteps behind them in the area of the rail bridge. However, when they turn and look, nobody's around. Many feel that these noises are the spirits of those killed in the Rock Island rail disaster, perhaps seeking justice because the man who killed them only served 10 years of his sentence before being released on parole. A marker along the Jamaica North Trail marks the spot where the disaster occurred and these souls lost their lives. Next is the Witch of the Woods. In the early 1900s, there was a short period where about half a dozen or so local children went missing in the Lincoln area. Many believed they ran away, but some believed that they disappeared in Wilderness Park. It wasn't until one boy went missing and his sister claimed to see him with a woman who lived in a secluded shack in the woods in what is now Wilderness Park. Locals called this woman Witch of the Woods. Police searched the wooded areas and eventually the bodies of the children were found. Local police questioned the woman who lived in the shack, and she only complained because the children always ran all over her property. There was no hard evidence against her, so the authorities did not make an arrest. However, once locals heard what the woman had said, they took matters into their own hands. The Witch of the Woods was found one day hanging by the neck from a tree with a chain. Many say when you walk the dark woods of Wilderness Park, you can hear the moans of the Witch of the Woods and occasional the rattling of chains. Some say they have actually found buried chains that have led to the tree where the woman was hanged. Be careful what you find at the end, though, because they say the Witch of the Woods was buried there with the chains still on her. Somewhere in the woods, a shrine exists that memorializes the children that lost their lives there so long ago. And I can't forget to mention Robber's Cave. Robber's Cave, in southwest Lincoln, near the intersection of 10th and High Streets, was called Pahook Bluff by the Pawnee Indians who came here to contact Tirawa, the god of all things. The cave was later a stop on the Underground Railroad, and in 1876, a hideout for Jesse James. Later, because of its proximity to the state penitentiary and a mental institution, reports tell of many convicts and patients who ended up here through tunnels from their respective building. Some died in the tunnels, and all of these stories lead to the rumors that the cave is haunted. Witnesses say you can hear Native American chants and drums, as well as screams, cries, laughter, and voices. The cave has now been sealed, and a Subway restaurant is reported to sit atop the original entrance. Then there are these smaller stories like the Haunted Temple. According to a legend, the University of Nebraska-Lincoln Theatre building is haunted by two ghosts. The first, a student who passed away in the 1940s during a production of Macbeth. The second, a former theatre department chairman. Students often report seeing the ghosts during late-night rehearsals. There is a legend that if a woman leaves the University of Nebraska-Lincoln without ever being kissed, then the columns will fall. The columns are considered a romantic spot to stroll and share a kiss with someone special. Also Antelope Park, Lincoln. Within the 143 acres that make Antelope Park, you can find one of the spookiest Nebraska haunted places. It looks anything but scary, but the field sitting behind the caretaker's house at Antelope Park is a popular location among ghosts. Visitors claim to witness numerous apparitions walking across the field that suddenly disappear into the woods on the other side. They also insist on the eerie atmosphere one can perceive in certain areas inside the park. Some even say they felt like someone is watching them while walking down the woods. The Arrow Hotel, located in Broken Bow, Nebraska, just off the city square. The Arrow Hotel dates back to 1928 and is believed to be quite haunted. If you're a fan of paranormal activity and feel brave enough to stay the night at this hotel, you'll want to try and book room number 205, the room that is said to be the most haunted. Rumor has it that one of the former owners of the hotel died here, and his apparition has been spotted going up and down the stairs leading to the kitchens. Another ghost that is said to wander the hotel is that of an old and gaunt gentleman with grey hair, and another is a woman with long red hair. Many locals believe this is a witch called Ivy, buried in the nearby Madison Square Cemetery. The Broken Bow Library. This library is said to be haunted by voices who have arguments in the southeastern corner of the building near closing time. Witnesses have also claimed to hear ghostly children laughing accompanied by cold chills. In Friend, Nebraska, the Gilbert Cemetery. This cemetery is believed to be haunted by an 1890s pioneer family, the Gilberts. Witnesses have claimed to see tombstones that move on their own and have reported unexplained sounds throughout the grounds. In Loup City, Nebraska, Jenner's Park. This park was once a zoo and its old cages are still intact. Witnesses say they've heard the sound of disembodied childlike laughter that can be heard at night. Next time I go fishing at Sherman, I should check that out. Now a bit closer to home for me. In Aurora, Nebraska, the Witch's Grave. The ancient, isolated grave in the Aurora City Cemetery, the Witch's Grave, has a mossy tombstone and a protruding marker, said to be a warning to deter others from witchcraft. So the story goes, the witch was eccentric, which was enough for the townsfolk to label her a witch and blame her for bad things that happened. Eventually, they hanged her for her crime of oddness. However, reports say the woman actually buried here was a normal woman, Susan Gavin, 1842 to 1882, who simply died of an illness and was buried with her 7-month-old daughter. The Kearney, Nebraska Area Children's Museum. At the Kearney Area Children's Museum, the basement is rumored to be haunted, said to be full of strange equipment with unusual stains all over the walls. Some witnesses say the temperature dropped suddenly, their hair stood on end, and they got a very uneasy feeling. At the University of Nebraska, at Kearney Conrad Hall, the hall was built in the late 1950s and used to house the chapter of the Alpha Omicron Pi sorority. The ghost, named Stella after one of the AOPI founding sisters, is said to haunt the west end of the third floor rooms, particularly room 318. The ghost appears at night, sitting in students' chairs, as well as on their beds. Sometimes students wake up unable to open their eyes or roll over in bed because the ghost is said to be sleeping next to them. Chairs are often found dragged across the tile floors in front of the mirrors. It also is said to turn lights on and off in vacant rooms that have remained locked. And the ghost also is said to turn on water in the bathrooms where students find it running. In Hastings, Nebraska, at Hastings College. The ghost of a music professor is said to show up in the music hall as an apparition or an orb. He also is said to turn lights on and off. Also, the Altman Hall is said to be haunted by namesake Clara Altman, who is said to act as a guardian angel for the students who live there. The Peterson House. In the 1930s, a young woman by the name of Anna C. Peterson rented a room here as she was employed in the laundry room of Mary Lanning Hospital. She had originally came from another small Nebraska town to live in Hastings. She was described by an older lady who worked with her as a quiet, private, lonely person who was friendly and kind in manner and really loved babies but was never married. It is reported that she died in her late 30s, perhaps because of disease, but more likely because of childbirth. It is thought that someone could have taken advantage of her genial, trusting disposition and her strong desire to be a married woman with a family. If she had been living now, she would have been able to adopt an older child. However, in her day, the only accepted way was to be married. Back in 1962, the Nelson family were the current renters. They had just had a baby boy who was sleeping in their bedroom. One early morning, at 3 a.m., their son was partially awakened by the rain pounding on the roof. Mr. Nelson awoke, and looking over at the restless baby in his crib, which was about 10 feet away from their bed, he saw a white, misty form of a woman that materialized into a detailed apparition of a young woman whose back was towards him. Nelson described her as being a stocky, medium-sized woman, dressed in a green uniform-type dress with dark stockings and black Oxford-type shoes, which was what she wore at her job in the hospital laundry room. She had brown eyes, and her brown hair was pulled back in a bun. She was gently and skillfully patting his son's back. He could see the crib and the wall through her transparent form. She turned and looked at him and gave him a kind, loving smile. He got a mental communication from her that her name was Anne Peterson and the knowledge that she had died in less than happy circumstances. She also communicated to him mentally that she deeply regretted the fact that she had never married and had babies of her own. He wasn't at all afraid of her and felt assured about her presence, feeling she meant no harm and just wanted to help. About a week later, the baby once again was awakened by a rainstorm, and again Nelson awoke to find her soothing the baby back to sleep. This time he wrote down his experience. In their bedroom, there were double built-in closets with a thin dividing partition between them. One closet was of normal temperature, but the other closet was always cold, despite the weather, with no obvious explanation. A cat made a point to avoid the cold-aired closet and always curled up in the warmer closet, no matter how hot it was. Nelson theorized that this apparition lived in the cold closet. It's hard to say whether she is still around this old house or not. The Nelsons moved into another house to make room for their growing family. No other sightings of Anne have been reported, but it is interesting to note that the Nelsons never knew she was there until they brought their new baby home, which brought her out of the closet into the baby-soothing business for the living. And finally, in Grand Island, Nebraska, the Nine Bridges Road, or Witch's Bridge. On the outskirts of Grand Island, Nebraska, there is a bridge that has become legendary over the years. This bridge is part of the Nine Bridges Road and has its torrid beginnings long ago, When a woman dwelled in a house at one end of the bridge, it was suspected that she, along with some of her neighbors, were involved in witchcraft or devil worship, and at the discretion of the townspeople, she was tied to a stake and her house set to go up in flames along with her. This bridge has since become known as Witch's Bridge, and it seems that things on and around this bridge have not been right since. Many believe it is cursed or haunted by the spirits who died there. In the days when the railroad maintained a bridge that ran adjacent to the current standing structure, there was a terrible freak accident that occurred there. One winter, the railroad workers were trying to free an ice jam that had built up against the rail bridge. Some local residents came out and stood on the adjacent road bridge to watch the explosions when the workers used dynamite to blast the ice away. In one of the blasts, the bridge that the onlookers were standing on shook violently, and a woman holding an infant stumbled and fell. Her baby toppled over the side of the bridge and into the turbulent, freezing water. Workers and onlookers searched for days, and the infant was never found. The mother of the infant from that point on spent long days searching the riverbanks for her child to no avail. As the years have passed by, visitors to the area say that on occasion, if you stop on the Witch's Bridge, your car will shut off. You can then hear the faint sound of a woman sobbing. Many have claimed to visit the bridge on a whim for a quick scare at night, and their car engines really did shut off. Some believers say that if you leave your car and venture around, the ghost of the witch will try and pull you over the side. For some reason, over the years, there have been an unusual number of fatal car accidents on Witch's Bridge. There are some unusual activities that have taken place here. Some say an abandoned house is located nearby that is supposedly haunted. Eyewitnesses have seen a rocking chair that sits on the front porch, rocking back and forth on a windless night, and many claim to have seen a phantom of sorts chasing them away. There was one report of a couple of people who had seen some strange things after their car had stalled on the bridge. They got out to investigate and witnessed the rocking chair starting to rock on its own. Then, shortly, a cold breeze overwhelmed them. Scared, they jumped back in their car and it started, so they sped away, only to feel a thump like they had hit something. They stopped and got out to see what they had hit. Upon investigating, they found a dead dog in the middle of the bridge that they had not seen in the headlights. They quickly jumped back in the car and sped off. Looking back, one of them saw the dog, only it was standing in the middle of the road, eyes glowing red, glaring at them. If you are in Grand Island, Nebraska, and decide to take a drive on Nine Bridges Road some evening, be sure to respect the private property, but mostly watch out for the phantoms of Witch's Bridge. When we come back, I will tell you of some of the legends in Nebraska. So stick around after some words from our fake sponsors.
If you're dealing with an aroma that can buckle your knees, that smells like month-old head cheese, we can handle your problem with ease. Before your neighbors keel over with each passing breeze, turd burglars, sewer and septic sucking service, get sucked by a real professional. Discounts available for vegans? Ask for the number 2 special.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Schlitt-Faced Beer. It'll fuck you up, guaranteed.
I'm just a regular guy who wants the same thing everybody else wants. Food, family, shelter, friends, and plenty of ice-cold Schlitt-Faced Beer. Just not necessarily in that order. Like last Friday evening, we brought over some Schlitt-Faced Distortion, the newest addition to the Schlitt-Faced family of beers, to Andy's garage. And in less than an hour, Stacy not only busted out her dance moves from the summer of 1986, but also was going around asking people to pull her finger. That's when we knew it was going to be one of those nights. Distortion. From the special waters of Flint, Michigan, Schlitt-Faced Brewers have outdone what said couldn't be done. A beer with even more alcohol, where Schlitt-Faced Light is a mere 47.3%, Distortion has a dangerous 69.6 level of alcohol.
pick up a can of Distortion from Schlitfaced Brewers, the only beer with a warning from the Surgeon General.
Distortion wants to remind you, if you are going to drink, drink responsibly. Drinking any of the Schlitfaced products may result in blindness, erectile dysfunction, explosive diarrhea, memory loss, strange rashes, genital warts, and possible anal leakage.
Any claims of time travel are purely fictitious and are only meant for entertainment purposes. And honestly, if you believe Rob can travel through time, I only have one question for you. What the hell is wrong with you?
Welcome back from that break. And no matter where you live, there are always legends and tall tales. Well, even here in Nebraska, there are also some folk tales and legends, like in Weeping Water. There is a Native American tale that says a war broke out between two tribes in the small town of Weeping Water in Nebraska, and that one tribe stole the daughter from the other. This resulted in a 3-day ordeal, and afterward, everyone from both tribes was killed. All the tribe's women wept so many tears that the river is claimed to be the Tears or the Weeping Water. Hatchet House. In the town of Portal, now Papillion, a small schoolhouse is the home to a particularly strange legend. The story goes that one day the schoolteacher lost her mind and decapitated all the students, placing their heads on the desks. Those who believe the legend still visit the schoolhouse to see if they can sense her presence or that of the poor students. Another legend is explosive rabbits. According to the legend, two very bored older farmers drove to Missouri to purchase fireworks. When they came back to their rabbit-infested fields, they decided to trap a few and have some fun by taping firecrackers to the animals and letting them run until they exploded. They had many laughs until one rabbit decided to take revenge and ran straight for one of the farmer's trucks, blowing it up. Radioactive hornets. Another legend that involves dangerous animals in Nebraska is the story of the radioactive hornets. After the nuclear disasters in the 1940s, there were many concerns about radiation-related horrors reaching the United States. One rumor emerged that the extremely aggressive hornets exposed to radiation had actually made their way to central Nebraska and could grow up to 4 times their normal size. Though this one is highly unlikely, it still has many locals keeping the fly swatters close by. Blackbird Hill near Decatur. The Blackbird Hill legend tells the story of a young couple who were deeply in love until the man was sent overseas. After almost 5 years, his lady had given him up for dead and married a Nebraska pioneer. The new couple lived on Blackbird Hill, the burial place of an Omaha chief, until one day the young man returned and they both confessed they still wanted to be together. The woman tried to explain the situation to her new husband, however he went into a jealous rage and attacked her. He then picked her up and plunged both of their bodies together off the Blackbird Hill cliff and into the river below. The legend is that on every October 17, the day of the murder, the woman's screams can be heard in the area. Seven Sisters Road, southeast of Nebraska City, Nebraska. An old path known locally as Seven Sisters Road is located in southeast Nebraska in Otto County. According to local legend, seven women were murdered here in the 1900s. This grisly urban legend, which has been circulating for more than a century, says that a young man once lived along the meandering road in an area known to have had seven hills. Residing on a farm southeast of Nebraska City, he lived with his parents and seven sisters. According to the tale, he was very angry after arguing with his family. That night, he hid in the woods as his parents left the house one evening, and then, one by one, he either enticed or forced each of his sisters outside with him. The young man then led them to the top of each hill and hanged each one of them from a tree until they were dead. Afterward, no one knows what happened to the bodies or the brother. Furthermore, no official reports have been found to substantiate the hangings, but the legend persists. Seven Sisters Road was built through the hills years after the rumored murders and the hanging trees were chopped down. The hills have also been altered over the years, and only four remain prominent today. Since that fateful evening so long ago, the area is said to be haunted by the women's restless spirits. Many tales have been told over the years, including the sound of terrified women screaming for help. Others have heard bells ringing that seem to come from a nearby private cemetery. Many who have driven through the area report having problems with their cars stalling, headlights mysteriously dimming, speedometers freezing, and windows that roll up and down, seemingly on their own. Others report seeing shadowy figures in the darkness, red eyes that appear to be watching them, hearing voices and muffled whispers, and experiencing sudden wind changes. Both paranormal groups and individuals continue to explore this creepy road, lined by looping hills and twisted trees, and report strange activity. Seven Sisters Road, called L Street today, is about 5 miles southeast of Nebraska City, Nebraska. The cannibal albinos of Hummel Park in Omaha. Hummel Park is so creepy on its own that it is amazing anyone actually made a park for humans out of it. There are ancient native burial grounds on the property, for real. Ghosts have been seen there, weird cults like to hang out there, and it is the site of a bunch of documented murders. It is also considered one of the most haunted parks in the country. As if that all weren't enough to keep people away from it, there is a legend of a group of albino humans who live at the park, either in the trees or in a remote house or farm somewhere within the park. They like to kidnap those who wander through the park at night and eat them. Yes, albino cannibal humans are supposedly alive and well in Hummel Park. It's probably best to just not visit the place. Ball Cemetery really doesn't want visitors. Most places with a reputation for being haunted have an abundance of visitors who are curious about the supernatural. That is not so much a problem at Ball Cemetery in Springfield, Nebraska. A big deterrent is that it is on private property and the owners will call police on trespassers. However, anyone who decides to risk a visit will find that the ghosts of Ball Cemetery will probably take care of evicting them from the property themselves. There is a large male ghost who is said to leave cuts and welts on visitors. Strange mists pop up in the cemetery when people go there, and they get lost in those mists. Many visitors have heard laughter when no one else is nearby and have experienced the sensation of someone tugging at their clothes. The Alliance Theatre. Tales of an actress who met an untimely end while on stage surround this theatre. Some even mention a chandelier falling on her right in front of the audience. The one thing all the stories have in common is the subsequent accounts of hearing a woman practicing her lines in the walls or furniture appearing to move itself. Devil's Canyon in McCook, Nebraska. Named for what locals thought influenced the event, this canyon is said to be the site of yet another tragedy. Supposedly, over 100 years ago, a man brought his wife and children out here, solely to end their lives and his. The man's ghost, known as the Duke, is said to roam the area, playing tricks on visitors unlucky enough to be caught there at night. Everywhere you go, there's always that legend. Well, we had one too. Chainsaw House. The local legend of the house, which is now gone, was there was this farmer who had been out in the fields, came home a bit earlier than he should have, and caught his wife with another man. The farmer was so enraged, he went to the barn and got his chainsaw and hacked the two lovers up. Some versions I heard was he was so out of it that he also dispensed with his children. Being riddled with guilt by his own actions, he then took the chainsaw to his own neck and attempted to cut his own head off, but only got halfway through, and that you could still hear the chainsaw on certain nights, and that there was a boarding house in Grand Island that was dispensing with guests by putting arsenic in the pancake batter. I searched high and low, but I can't find any more information on that. Thank you for joining us this week on GXO. Next week, we will be back on our usual schedule and from 1964 Bewitched. So until then, have a fantastic week. This has been GXO, Generation Extraordinary. The views and opinions are Rob's and Rob's alone. Any claims of time travel are purely fictional. The music and audio clips are not Rob's, and in most cases were downloaded through his paid YouTube subscription and are only used for entertainment purposes. GXO is a production of Popeye Enterprises. Its host, creator, producer, and editor is Robert Pop. Co-producer is Harley Quinn. Special guest AI host is Ollie Pop. For more information, support, or to contact us, go to the website. Thanks for listening.